doesn't go vote for paychecks, though, right? You don't have to wait for us to sign.
No, you're right, we don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When the benefits kick in on the 1st of February?
Oh, we do all
medical benefits?
I think so.
I hope so.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I really do. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a string for it?
I thought.
Hey, Jack, that's funny.
Old phone system. Yeah, this is the old cell phone. Pull it tight. Yeah. Pull it tight.
It still works in hotel rooms, though. Put it to the wall.
I bet you can. How about anybody in here?
How are you?
Not mine.
I can't leave quite mine. 7 o'clock.
You all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Carol, will you call roll for us, please?
President Graves?
Here. Here.
Vice President Dawson?
Here.
Voice is changing.
Director Simon?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Director Tatro?
Yes,
sir. Thank you. This is the time that we open the floor to public comments. If you have any comments to make about any subject item that is not an agendized item, this is your chance to get up and give us your best 3 minutes. Okay, any presentation, staff?
None this evening.
Thank you. Report from any of the directors or comments.
Me and Kevin attended the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District meeting. They've held off on making any decisions until January 31st, though it doesn't look like they'll be doing a partial tax. It looks like it will be a benefit assessment. So they will make their decision January 31st, and that's all I have.
Mr. Steele?
Nothing to report.
Yeah, I just want to elaborate on that a little bit. What happened was when they spent their $80,000 of money they don't have on the poll and survey, they found out that they were barely at about 60% approval on a parcel tax, and you need 2/3, and they know that that probably was a little bit tainted. I was a little surprised that Discovery Bay actually came in at 51%. I would think that it would have come in about 20%, but
it was the lowest.
It was the lowest, I'll say that. So there's a loophole I would like to designate it as, and that is that special districts that are identified in the code are allowed to do something that's called a benefits assessment, and that passes by only 50%. So there.
That's also only homeowners.
No, the benefit assessment actually goes to commercial.
Anyone who owns the land. So if you're a homeowner or if you own a commercial building, you get a vote. If you're not a homeowner, you don't get a vote.
Didn't you give your report? I'm just kidding. He's right. And it's also weighted. The more valuable your property, the more heavy your vote is. I don't know exactly how they go through that process, and it's probably not all that important. But the fact what's important is that it's a weighted vote. Somebody with a 2,000 square foot home would not have as much weight as somebody with a 10,000 square foot home because the impact is considered to be different. Am I correct on that, Council?
It's based off of the benefit to the property, so size and what's value. There doesn't necessarily equate to what the benefit would be. It depends on what the funds were going to be used for.
Roger that. Thank you. It looks like it's obvious that they're not going to do the parcel tax, as Brian said, but they will. It looks like they're really leaning heavy towards the benefit tax. Unfortunately, they knew that they needed, and I believe they admitted that they needed $125 per parcel to make everything work, and they were asking for $96. So even in this attempt that they are having to try to stem the tide, to try to not work in the deficit, they're not even asking for enough money to do that. And there was never addressed whether they're asking for enough money to reopen the closed stations or just to meet the budgets that they have going forward, which indicates to me that they're probably not asking for enough money to reopen existing stations. They didn't actually make that statement. They made it very clear that they're not going to make that statement, and there wasn't an opportunity to ask that question because of the format. When that vote comes around, and I suggest that everybody pay close attention to what's going to happen with the ECC FPD in the next few months, because it's going to affect whether or not Discovery Bay gets the stations open back up or not. It's not looking real promising. I also attended the aviation meeting over at Buchanan Field last week, or week before, I don't remember when it was, and turned in a report for that. Basically, there's nothing exciting going on at the Byron Airport right now, except for a lot of noise level reports. So other than that, I don't have anything else, and we'll move along with the agenda. Next on the agenda is the consent calendar.
I'll make the motion we approve the consent calendar.
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion by the board with any of the items listed? Any discussion from the public on any of the items listed? Yes.
Hi, how you doing? You guys are probably already know, but the item for the chamber dinner tickets looked like the invoice was for $360, which is more than what the resolution was for. Presumably it's for one more ticket, hopefully it's so Rick can go. But there wasn't any comment on that, so I just thought I'd bring it up.
Wait, is that on the consent calendar?
It's listed as an item under the transactions under the billings.
Was there a discrepancy in the amount approved and the amount spent?
No, there was not. Mr. Flynn is correct. It is for six people. It's for the five board members and for myself.
Thank you. Any other comments? It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of approving the consent calendar, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. New business, item F1, nominees for the special district vacancy at LAFCO. Do you want to comment on that first, Rick?
This is, as I'm sure you are all aware, the special district vacancy on LAFCO became open due to Director Pipo deciding not to seek re-election and so therefore his vacating his position on the board created that opening. There are seven people from other special districts that have expressed interest, and those seven have received resolutions of support from their elected bodies, which is a requirement of LAFCO. So there are seven people that are on the list that are up for nomination, and Board President Graves will be taking this decision this evening and making the vote for that individual at the appropriate time. I believe it's next week, actually.
Looks like it's Monday the 24th at 10 o'clock.
So with that, it would be appropriate for the board to select a candidate and nominate and vote on it.
So at this point, we would open it up for discussion amongst the board as to who we would like to see in that position. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, Brian, did you have something?
Well, I just wanted to say that I think it's important that when we decide that we give Kevin the ability to have a backup, because the way the LAFCO election goes, there's so many names. The first ballot will come. No one will probably get elected. People will drop out. And I think it's important that if we pick someone and they drop out, then we give Kevin the ability to vote for maybe a second choice.
Anybody have any nominations that they'd like to throw out there?
I got one. You want to?
Go ahead, Brian.
I'd like to nominate Michael McGill. For our vote.
Chris, did you have a nomination?
I'll second Mike McGill.
Well, I don't know that we have to move and second on this. We're just actually in discussion process
all right,
at this point.
I
was disappointed that the seven of these guys didn't, not all of them put out a resume or more background on them or reach out to us, and so I'm a little bit disappointed on that. Three of the guys did to me, but it's just amazing the importance of this job, and you know, I think...
Well, I agree with you 100%, Chris. In fact, the only person that did actually get a hold of me was Tom Baldacci, and he's actually an East County resident, and he's on a reclamation district, lives over here on the other side of Knightson. He is from East County. Mr. McGill, I believe, is from Richmond or...
West County.
West County.
It's in Pleasant Hill.
And didn't have a word, I didn't hear a word from him. I know that resumes did go out. I got one, I think, from a gentleman named Lou Baldacci, or Leonard Battaglia also sent one out, but nobody reached it out. Is any comments from anybody, any other director?
Yeah, actually, Thomas reached out and called me, and he indicated he thought that we would have saw his resume in our packet.
Said the same thing to me.
And, but I didn't see it. But three things I like. A, he's a East County person.
Yeah.
He's also on a reclamation district, and he's a firefighter. And one of the big deals that LAFCO's dealing with is the MSRs on the fire districts. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he may not have a chance to win, but, I mean, I think from this district's standpoint, he would be a good person to nominate.
Director Simon, do you have any comments?
I agree with Ray. I want to see somebody from East County get our nomination.
And we're losing fireman representation on the board with Dave leaving. That was actually a very good point he made. Of course, and he did a pretty good presentation to me. We spent quite a bit of time on the phone together. And he's a local. He lives here and he works in Tracy, so he's familiar with this, with all the situations that affect us out here with regards to development, water, fire, all those things. I don't have any other. That's all input I have, because that's the only person that has reached out to me. So. Is there any other comment from the board?
I talked to Thomas Baldacci too, and I think it's good. I know Mike from his run for county supervisor, and I got to spend a good amount of time with him. He's a smart guy, kind of nerdy, but I think Mike would have East County's interests at hand, and I really like the fact that he's an engineer. He understands water, and but I do agree that my second choice would be Baldacci.
Any other comments from you, Chris?
My comment about Mike McGill was just engineering background, worked on some large infrastructure projects, and I thought that he's had a long career in his engineering, a civil engineering background, and nothing went to water, and that was what stood out for me, that he was an experienced guy. Tom would be also be a good candidate, although I did get he was a younger guy and had maybe he just hadn't had as much time or exposure to a lot of these. LAFCO's got some big decisions to make, and I just was wondering if he has had that breadth of experience or that exposure to everything yet. So,
yeah,
but I think he's definitely we should be in good contact with him as we move forward as a CSD, and I think he'll do great things.
Just for clarification purposes, and for those that are out that maybe not know, don't know what LAFCO is and what their primary responsibilities are, can we have a definition of that?
LAFCO stands for Local Agency Formation. Let's see, Commission. Thank you. What they do is they oversee cross boundaries of various different districts within the area and public entities. They deal with issues regarding annexation. So say a city wants to annex some land from the unincorporated portion of the county, LAFCO must approve it. LAFCO's job is to basically be the authority that makes certain that whatever, things such as an annexation occur are done in a manner and are approved with various conditions, including financial stability.
Thank you for that. So and the reason I asked for that was just for some clarification. They're not necessarily their sole responsibility really doesn't focus on water at all.
That's correct.
So the engineering and water background may or may not be an asset. It shows experience and diligence and hard work, and we appreciate that. But may not necessarily cross reference over to LAFCO in any special way. Any comments from the? Is there more comments from the board? Any comments from the public?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how much pressure or influence LAFCO has on things like the dam that's hanging over our heads. But if you've got an engineer, who's a civil guy and knows water and knows earth-filled dams and knows the history of earth-filled dam problems in California, that I'd recommend him, because that thing is hanging over our heads, and I sure as hell would like to see somebody address those issues about adding 10 feet to that dam.
I don't think they have anything to do with that.
Any other comments from the public? Okay. Hearing none, the next step in the process is to vote in the order that they were nominated, correct?
Well, I think that you can, I think Brian's comments with respect to a primary and a secondary person are valid, because I know that LAFCO does at times have difficulties and they do end up going down the list. And so I think it might be appropriate to discuss that maybe as from a primary or a secondary standpoint.
Well, considering we've only heard two names really going forward, I think that we don't have to go through any sort of a nomination process at this point. That's a probably good point. So I guess we should probably just decide
who the primary
is. Yeah, and it's a difficult decision for me, because I really, like I said, only one guy's reached out to me, so I really haven't heard the other side, the other person's point of view. Saw a picture of him, but that's about it. So at this point, I would say, do we need to take a formal vote? Formal vote on who, I would, then the first name that comes forward is Mike McGill, I believe his name is, as the primary, since he was the first one nominated. All those in favor of Mike McGill being the primary, please say aye.
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 Okay, I guess that leaves all those in favor of Tom Baldacci as the primary, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
There you have it. Any?
I think for point of order, you need to have a motion and a second on each one and a vote on each one.
At this point, then, the
motion
is decided.
And a second, but you didn't call for the vote.
The board has decided on what the motion's to be at this point. Then, would somebody please make that motion?
I'll make a motion that Thomas Baldacci, if that's his name, is the primary for our vote for LAFCO.
And Mike McGill would be the secondary. Let's get that all in one motion.
Oh, okay. And McGill would be the secondary. Okay.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
All right. Motion carries. Next item.
The next item, thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The next item is I'm bringing back the discussion with respect to the cash-only policy at the district, and to implement credit card, debit card, and online bill pay features through our website. As we discussed back in December, we bill approximately 1,800 residential commercial water users right now. Most of those payments do come in by check, be it through the mailing of the check themselves in the return address envelope or through their own bank or pay system. We do receive a small but significant amount of money in cash that comes in through the front doors on occasion. And as I reported at the last time we discussed this, it was about $10,000, if I remember, over the prior 90 days. And one thing that was not mentioned at the last meeting is that, and I believe Mr. Flint brought this question up, is that we do not go to the bank on a daily basis with checks. We do not send someone to the bank with an envelope full of checks and make the deposit. We have an electronic check reader here in the office. And when checks come in, they get sent right through the automatic check reader. We then maintain those checks on site for 90 days, which is what the bank requires. After that, we dispose of the checks on a rotating 90-day basis, at that point, it's a 30-day basis. So the only time we actually send somebody to the bank is when we get cash. And it takes about 45 minutes from the time the person puts the money in the envelope, walks out the front door, gets in their car, drives over to the bank, spends the time in line at the bank, gets the cash deposit receipt, returns back to their car, gets in their car, drives back over here to the office, and sits back down at their desk. You know, it's just around the corner, but it takes some time to make that movement. The one thing that I would recommend that we still continue to do is at a public events, I would still recommend that we do accept cash for collateral items that we sell, for example, t-shirts, license plate frames, caps, sweatshirts, things like that, at the Lions concert, car shows, things along those lines, because people do like to buy them there. And we would also be able to accept credit cards there as well, with a credit card reader that the bank would provide to us. So that option is also available. So what we're recommending tonight is to limit versus completely eliminate cash transactions, eliminate them for the water billing and other types of district business transactions that come through the front door here, and make that effective. I think a good date would be July 1 of this year, which gives us about 5.5 months to get the word out to the community, get the online bill pay, the debit card, the credit card options up and running. And I think that would give us an adequate time to do that, get it rolled out, and then make everything effective on July 1st. So with that, if you have any questions.
Any comments from your directors?
Yes. I thought we put this, we already decided on this.
We did decide, you decided that you want to move forward in that direction, but okay. What we did not do is, we had options, if you recall, there were a series of options, but okay. We did not have, and it wasn't memorialized.
Okay.
One of the options was, if we went with the option you chose, I would come back to the board with a resolution that memorializes that action.
Okay.
And that's what this does.
Okay, thank you. My comment is that I think we had a lot of good points why we should do it. So it just makes no sense. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. And it makes no sense that we wait till July 1st. I mean, I don't understand it. So as soon as ASAP, as far as I'm concerned.
Did you have a comment?
Yeah. No, Mark.
I was just going to echo what Ray said. I think 90 days. I could see using 90 days as an adjustment period to let people know. 90 days should be plenty. I don't see waiting 6 more months to implement this. It's a great idea, and you put some thought to it. It came out perfect.
Yeah, I want to thank Director Simon for bringing this up in the first place. I think that one of the areas that we can really help save the district money is by increasing efficiency, and I think this is exactly what this does by saving on bank trips and on money counting and. Not only the safety requirements, I mean the safety concerns of having money here. I have to agree too. I think that that's a little far out date. I think 90 days is fair. So,
Mr. Steele, any comments?
Yeah, get it done as soon as possible.
I heard direction loud and clear.
Yes, the only question I have was one that I brought up, and I think Ray and I both talked about this at the last meeting, and that was, or the last time we discussed this, and that was to make sure that there was a free option. In other words, we're not forcing them to use just the credit card option if it happens to cost money, and that there would be no impact to the district. That was actually part of your original statement, I think, Ray, that there'd be no impact to the district.
No impact to the district.
But my comment to that was, yes, I agree with that, but then we need to make sure that we are going to be able to take advantage of the routing account number process that I use in a lot of my other bills to make sure that there is an option that's cost-free to the public. Is that been clarified?
No, not yet. And that's not part of this action. That will come back to you as part when we bring the merchant services agreement back, and we'll discuss at that time.
So are you asking for a motion on this tonight?
Yeah, I need a motion. I need to approve the resolution so I can get the, there's a resolution associated with this.
Yeah,
that
I saw it.
Eliminates the cash.
Okay.
Restricts the cash.
Okay.
And then once this is authorized, I will then move forward with the next component, which is getting the merchant services. I wanted to have that in place, but the person that I've been dealing with left the company over the holidays, and so it kind of threw a wrench in it. So I do apologize for that. So there will be another component coming back.
Well, my concern is that how do we make this motion contingent upon that option being valid? I don't think that we should increase costs to the public. I know it's an option that can be used. I just, you know.
Well, I think we all agree with that. But I mean, it may be a mechanics of it that's difficult. I don't know, but we all agree with that.
Okay.
I mean, but we're passing a resolution that this is what we want to go to is no cash.
Okay. So I just want to make that clear. That
sure.
What I'm trying to get at is really public awareness that this is taking place, and that we will be offering the bill pay, the online services, and the credit debit card services. If you recall what we talked about at the meeting back in December with respect to using a credit card or a debit card, when you come in to pay, there's a transaction fee associated at 2%, 3%, 4% if you use it. And there's different ways to absorb that. Either the user pays it or the organization, the entity, the retailer pays for it in our case. But since we will be offering online bill pay through the website, then you can do ACH check that way.
Okay.
That would be a free transaction there.
Just clarifying.
Okay.
Because I'm completely behind the whole idea and the whole concept. I just wanted to be clear on that. So I'm sorry to drag this.
I think that the public should have more than one option for paying this, as long as one of the options is free to them.
I agree 100%, Mark. That's what I was trying to say.
I know that's what you're trying to say. And that way, if they say, I want to use my credit card, but it costs me 60 cents, then that's their choice. Or they can do a check by electronic.
Or they can write a check and mail us
a check.
And sometimes debits have less fee than credit cards, so they have basically three options at that point.
So this will give them a free way.
So is there a motion then?
There is. I'll make
point,
a motion.
Point of order. Haven't opened up.
You're right. Absolutely correct. My fault. Comments from the public, please.
Yeah, I'm all for the process. I just want to make sure that you have selected a merchant vendor to do this. Does 90 days allow you time to test the system, your online bill pay system? Because I would recommend adopting this policy simultaneously with implementing the vendor that provides this online process.
Well,
I'm sorry. Thank you, Mike. How you doing? Good to see you. I don't have the answer to that question. Let me turn that over to staff for an answer.
The vendor services contractor, we're looking to use our current banker, which is ECC Bank. And they, while they don't necessarily offer retail services like that, they have a partner that they use to do that. And so we've been working with them. And so any agreement that comes back would have to go before the board, because it's a contractual agreement between us and ECC Bank through their contractor. And it's been conveyed to us that once we get the authorizations in place and we fill out all the required paperwork, it's about a 48-hour turnaround to get everything up and running. It's pretty simple. My understanding was it would take maybe a few weeks to do that. And he says, no, it's a few days or less to actually get it up and running. So it's a really quick process. The time-consuming component of that is the paperwork, the front-end load, if you will.
And have we done the research? Oh, actually, we're still on public. Anybody, any other comments from the public on this?
Yeah, I have much the same comments I made in December. And one of them is, much what Mike was saying there, why not come back when you have the program figured out and know what the costs are and the board can vote on exactly what it's going to be? You're voting on a requirement to implement something, and you don't have that something in front of you right now. And it's not like there's any urgency. The building's not burning down, and you don't really need to vote on it tonight. The other thing is, I think that this relates to public records requests, and I think the public has a right to come in and review documents and also request copies of them and pay with cash. I'm troubled that the board takes steps to try to hinder the public's access to records, both by allowing different access to records to different people, which we talked about before, but also by requiring that they have credit cards or checkbooks. There's nothing in the Public Records Act that requires that, and I think you guys are overstepping. You know, if not the letter of the law, certainly the spirit. And there's no reason for it. Certainly there's a way to figure out how to have a lockbox or a safe and hold public records request money in that safe for a week. How much money does that come to? It doesn't have to be dropped off every day at the bank. If somebody comes in and pays $8 for public records, there's no reason to go to the bank with that. There's got to be a way around that. So I wish you would consider those things.
Okay, any other comments from the public? I do believe that we know what we're voting on, right? We know what the program is, and
yes.
We know that I think pretty clear on the fact we know what the costs are, that there's an option that it might cost the public. That's not going to change. We don't set those costs, the credit card companies do. And then there's a free option, and there's an option to mail in a check. There's an option to drop off a check.
Money order.
Or a money order or a cashier's check, for that matter. Although we would prefer not to do that because of the processing issues. But we obviously would take that if necessary. So I'm clear on what the program is and what the costs are and what the ups and downs are of it. Do you have any comments, Brian?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Dan, are we overstepping our bounds? In regards to the Public Records Act, though it doesn't specifically say we can limit to cashier's checks or checks, is there something that says we can't?
Well, first of all, it wouldn't be the Public Records Act.
Mm-hmm.
There's already been decisions that have been issued throughout the country regarding the cash-only option, whether somebody can require you to accept that as tender, and that is only for taxes. And there have been several cases in California that have made it clear that you can restrict the form of payment. So in my opinion, the restrictions that you are looking at are within your authority.
Thank you.
Any other comments from anybody at this point? Because the board's already commented. Any other comments?
No.
Okay. I believe, yes, sir.
There, in order to ASAP this, I would like to make a change to the resolution that would make it effective May 1st, 2011.
I already had that written down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you were already going to make that change?
Yeah.
And then under section 2, change it from 90 days to 30 days.
And then also, Rick, are we getting this onto our website immediately so people who are on the phone will know change it?
Yes, and we will also start sending it out with our next month.
I'm assuming the survey press will put it a little bit if we ask them also.
One other comment, without any inference to, because I don't know, I'm not making any inference by making a statement, but I'm not sure how accessible and how easy it is to work with our website at this point. I would want to make sure, you know, that function, online pay, is a function that we can accommodate without having to go to, what's it called when you order something online?
PayPal
or something like that, that we have the capability of doing that as an agency.
Yes, we do.
That's clear. Thank you for that clarification.
The website was constructed with online bill pay features in mind. That module just needs to be
activated in a merchant account.
Activated, and the other side of it needs to be
Tell where the money
put,
goes.
Put to play. That's all part of the next phase of this.
I want to restate my motion to accept resolution 2011-02 with two changes. Number one, section 1, July 1st being changed to May 1st, which would accommodate 90 days, and section 2, the 90 days slashed to 30 days.
I'll second that.
Okay, the motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried unanimously. I believe we have one more item. And I'll turn this over to staff.
Thank you. This evening we have before us a proposed modification to an existing home located at 1226 Marina Circle. The applicant would like to construct a small addition to the home consisting of a 140 square foot first story addition and a 152-foot second-story loft and a 212-square-foot deck addition, and three, to change the existing roof line from flat to pitch. They are also requesting a variance to a 22-foot front yard setback where 21 feet is required, and a zero side yard setback where 20 feet is required. The property is located at Marina Circle. I've been out there and looked at it, and I believe that the modifications would fit in with the neighborhood without any, it wouldn't look out of scale or out of scope. And this evening, the applicants are here representing the owner, Daigle Construction, and they are here to address any questions or concerns that the board may have.
Before you do anything, can I make a request of legal?
Sure.
The requesters are people I'm familiar with. Am I safe in not recusing myself? There's no money involved in this. Am I safe in not recusing myself, or do I need to stay out of this?
If you have no financial interest in the transaction, even though you may know somebody, and it could even be a family member, that does not constitute a legal conflict of interest.
Good. Thank you.
Mark's been around for a long time. I think a lot of us know him, so that would be pretty tough to get a vote. How you doing, Mark? It's been a long time, a few years. Can you come forward for us, please, just for a couple questions? I'm familiar with the circle. This is one on the exterior, I imagine, on around the outside. Is that correct, Marina Circle?
Yes, it is.
And aren't they already on a zero property line? Aren't they duplexes currently?
Yes, they are. It's a townhouse.
So are you moving to the outside of that, into that property?
Actually, the only thing we're doing is moving to the back.
So it's not infringing upon any of the neighbors. It's only going back towards the water?
Correct.
Okay. Because the way this reads, it looks like you're...
This is a side
yard. Yeah, a side yard where 20 foot is required. It sounds like you're building into the side yard.
It does.
And infringing upon...
We aren't.
I believe you.
We're already
I believe you. A man of integrity, I'll tell you. Any questions from the board?
Yeah, just a... You're on Marina Bay, right? Are you towards the end? Has that been in process for quite some time?
It's been, well...
It has been stopped for quite some
stopped.
Time.
Okay. See, I live on that, and I go out bass fishing, and I've gone by that a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wonder whatever happened to
right.
it. Okay.
Yeah. What happened was when we went down to... I went down to pick up a permit and was informed that we had to do a development plan. Mm. And after over 80 homes, we had never... in the county said you wouldn't even know about it till you came down here. So we tried to work very hard with the gentleman we worked with, who then quit in December after promising us we'd be at the zoning meeting and neglecting to say we had to be here. And we went to the zoning meeting last Monday. I think it was last Monday, maybe before that. And we were going back this coming Monday and had to work with Rick here to fill in missing pieces. The lady that's been assigned this project is the county will come out here and look at what's here. The Marina Circle of the townhomes were built in the 70s. It makes them 37 years old. And the whole street has a minimum 30-foot setback from face of curb, which makes it a 20-foot setback from property line. And that's consistent throughout the development. And the county.
I think what it boils down to, she went down to pull the permit, and I'm a little bit too efficient, too over exuberant, and I had it, and I had the outside. I'd already started a demo on it, and we sealed it up for the winter when we found out the county. Wonderful.
But they were talking about setbacks and stuff, and that's all I was referring to.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff about setbacks is coming out of the mouth of someone who's digging and delving day after day, coming up with something new that might stop this. And as the latest thing this afternoon, we're finally coming up with a code from 1978 that they believe will allow us to build, considering that the sidewalks or the driveways are not 25-foot setback, but they are what was approved by county. Approved to be built and approved that they were built and have been there for a long time.
You're kind of confusing it.
Just help me.
We're within all the setback.
We're within all setback.
Just help me understand where the zero setback is.
The zero setback.
Oh, it's
a common
townhouse.
Wall. It's a common wall.
It's a common
wall. Between the two units.
Okay, so there already is a common wall.
There's
yes,
a common wall. Yes.
Then how can then it was already?
That's
it's already
trying
established.
To say. We
are. Maybe that's probably the argument with the county. Okay.
Yes,
right.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Okay.
I have no problem.
Mark,
no, I'm sure, right.
Hey, Brian?
No, it's pretty.
Chris?
No comment.
No, so just for clarification, I've seen you build, I don't know how many million-dollar homes out here, and you never had to do this plan now for a little 252 square foot?
No. Times have changed.
Okay, so, let me first clarify what our action is here tonight. Rick?
What I would like the board to do is take an action or a motion, if that's what they would like to do, to authorize me to send a letter to the county as soon as possible, preferably tomorrow, indicating that the board had no comment on the proposed project.
Let me make that motion.
Well, first I'd like to get, thank you for the input. I think it's pretty simple, and I just appreciate you guys coming here, and I'll get some comments from the public, and then we'll go ahead and take action.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Any comments from the public on this particular issue? Okay, thank you. Martin?
Let me make a motion that we forward comments in favor of proposed modifications to the existing home at 1226 Marina Circle, and that staff is authorized to send that letter out as of tomorrow.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion?
Can I make a comment?
Okay.
Can you call for comment again? I'm sorry. What Rick had said was asking for a recommendation to send a letter with no comment.
You can direct me to write any letter you want.
And so I didn't make any comment because that's what I thought was on the table. I don't have any problems with the development, you know, the action taking place. I'm a little bit uncomfortable with you folks being put in a position of having to approve it, yeah, or voice an approval, because you don't have, I don't know where your authority to do that comes from.
We've been doing it since we've been here.
Well, I don't know where the authority comes to do
that. Let's not add to that. I understand. I appreciate your point. Thank you. Let me just get council's view on this.
You have authority to basically do what you want as long as you're not expending funds. For instance, many times in the past, I've heard that the city council and city of Berkeley has passed a resolution in opposition of some foreign conflict at all. As long as you're not expending funds.
I've been there for those.
As long as you're not expending funds, you can.
Okay. Thank you for making that clarification.
The other thing that I would suggest is that when you contact the county with your response, point out to them that we're not a MAC, because on the form it lists us as a MAC.
Yeah. We can change. Let's change the motion to.
Why don't you withdraw your motion?
Let me withdraw that motion.
And the second withdraws.
Sure.
And
okay.
I'll make a motion that we send comments to the appropriate county office that we have no negative comments in regards to the modifications of the property at 1226 Marina Circle, and that the builder and developer is known to this board, and we have no issue.
Second that's said.
Thank you for that. All those in now, did we vote on that motion already? No. Okay, you stopped me in time. I stopped myself and asked for. Okay. Are we okay with that? Everybody's okay with that now? Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. All right. Back to the front.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daggles. Appreciate you. Good seeing you again.
Yeah, Mark.
Good seeing you too.
Deolia. Hello. Gerald?
Hello. Say we're running a little long. I'll go through this pretty quick, 20, 30 minutes as well.
Thank you, Gerald. Appreciate it.
Did you order pizza?
No, I think this will roll quick. See, you want me speaking in here and reading this at the same time, huh? This is the report for December. And as you might recall, when I told you I would talk about the most current events, it's a little bit confusing because what happens today might have been in reference for something that happened as much as 2 months ago. So if you have any questions or need any clarification as I walk through this, just ask. So there was one permit limit violation that occurred in December. And what this is, it's the salinity. It's the concentration of salinity. And it's actually not salinity, it's Now I'm drawing a blank.
I know.
Electrical conductivity.
Conductivity.
And caused by salinity. It's a related topic. And the EC was at 2192, I believe. So we just barely went over that limit. Now, we've been watching this as we go along, and every month we've been right there, sometimes over that. But you have to wait and do the annual calculation for the average, and you have to wait till December. So we have that. Now, what's that going to do? Well, I don't think that's going to cause too much concern. This is a problem that's throughout the Delta region. There's some meetings coming up here, very soon in Sacramento over this very topic. A lot of folks will be there. I don't believe it holds a mandatory minimum penalty. And it won't. There's a part in the permit that says, if you haven't done one of two things, then it would escalate to 1,000 milligram per liter limit. And one of them is turn in a plan, and the other one is if you turn in a plan and it has been approved by the regional board, it has to be implemented. Well, the town's turned in their plan, but we haven't had any response back. So, where you're at.
So that would kind of put us in a point of complying in outside of compliance, I guess, huh? But still meeting that violation, but complying with the requirements that we need to move forward.
Going into an escalated limitation, yes. There were no water violations or excursions that occurred in December. There were no sanitary sewer overflow events that occurred in December. We did receive a notice of violation in December for the October 7-day median and MRP, which is monitoring and reporting program requirements. I talked about this, I believe, a couple different months because, again, this happened in October, so I probably talked about it in October and I probably talked about it in November, and I'm talking about it now because we just got the NOV. What had happened was during October, late September, there was some two RAS pumps that failed not the same time, but within an 8-hour period. And when that happens, high turbidity is caused. And when you have high turbidity, that affects the disinfection process. And if you're over in an hour, if you're over 10, then you have to go out and collect a sample to see if you have a problem with total coliform. And we had several that added up, and this is actually, it's an equation that they look at, and they go back and they look at 7 days that samples were taken. So if you go back, you could go back all the way into September to find the 7 days, which is what we had to do. And then it's a simple calculation where it's not an average. They just, if you have, out of that period of time, you have an even number, you take the two center, two middle ones, and you divide them by two, and that's the value. And it has to be less than 23. And ours ended up being 27. If you have an odd number, you just pick the center one. So it's kind of a way that the state uses, or the regional board uses, to see how you're doing in terms of total coliform. We did not exceed any maximum daily at all. The MRP, you've heard me talk about before, this is the dosing data that is required in the permit. On October 22nd, we got some of the dosing data. Is when we started putting the dosing tracking system on by putting the system in auto. We kind of did it a little bit early, but I wanted to get that in. And I tried to talk the regional board into letting us slide because we did have it there, but they said it wasn't there for the whole month, so we're going to get that violation. Okay. This is something that's been ongoing. Right now, Veolia is working carefully and diligently with the district's engineering firms and Herod Engineering, and we're working with Trojan Technologies to make sure that we can get all that information pulled into the SCADA system so it's available to staff so they can then report it. And there's a lot to it. There's, you know, they want to know how many gallons per minute per lamp, and they want to know at the minimum dose time when that occurred. So you have to know exactly when the lowest dose occurred in 1,440 points of data, and then you have to go find that, and then you have to go find how many gallons a minute of flow is rolling through the system and how many lamps were on. And so it's a lot of data that you got to pull through. So I guess if I had a quiz, a pop quiz, I'd say, what's wrong with that page?
November.
Uh-huh. I put November up there. I didn't change it. December. We retired James Arona. This was his third retirement. I really didn't want to see him go. He was a good hand, but you know, when it's time to retire, you can't stop him. So he went ahead and moved on. We did actually have to let one other gentleman go. You know, we got to have the best people we can have, the best staff we can, and if they're not performing at the level that they need to be, then sometimes they just sort of weed themselves out, if you will, and that's what happens. So we're actually interviewing right now. We have five different people that we're looking at. One's in San Diego. One of them's back east. There's a gal over on the coast in Rio that's grade three that's very interested, so we have some good candidates. We've operated 485 days. I was putting up the hours, but the hours started getting too high, so we're up to 485 safe operating days. That's really two full years for us. That's a big deal, so we go out and celebrate that. We celebrate there's no lost time and no accidents, no recordables, OSHA recordables, so that's kind of a big deal for us. There were 10 samples that were collected due to this triggered NTU. The bypass pipeline, we had to put an interruption into the flow so they can go in there and do some work, modify, get the bugs out of this new valve that diverts flow in the event that you have high turbidity. And there's a couple of things there that aren't quite right, and so they want us to stop flow, and I try to explain to them it's really a difficult thing to do because it's in and out all the time. So when that happens, you disrupt the flow, you have an upset condition, you have high turbidity, and we had to collect samples there. And that RAS, which you can see listed right here, is the RAS pumps that I was talking about when we lost the prime on both of those.
Hey, can I interrupt you as you go, or do you want me to wait to the
end?
No,
I want you to interrupt me.
Good, because I'll forget by the end. If, in fact, we know we're going to have to do something that's going to increase the turbidity. Do they allow you to give them a heads up that's going to occur?
They being
whoever's writing the violation, that's the water quality board, and say, you know, look, we know that on January 30th, we're going to be doing a test. We know that we're going to close the flow. We know it's going to increase turbidity. Therefore, expect the results to be, you know, and, or do they care?
No, that's a good question, and there's two answers. Most of the time, they don't care. The rule is the rule, and you have to comply. However, your relationship between the board is very important. And if you know that you're going to have a problem, if you're going to have an upset condition or a bypass condition, and you know it in advance, you're actually required to notify them.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean they won't violate you if you violate and go out of compliance. But it goes a lot smoother with them if you tell them up front.
Well, we can't be the only district that has to upgrade and stop things and change things, and it's what's happening all the time.
All over the country.
Okay.
We had 8 call-outs. One of the interesting call-outs was a gentleman was out early one morning walking his dog, and he smelled this bad odor, and he saw a little water on the ground, and kind of called in and said, my goodness, there's a sewer break line. And so we all hopped in our vehicles and headed out there, and we're sniffing around, and it just smells awful. One guy said it smelled like a oil field. Another guy said it smelled like hydrogen sulfide. And we end up calling the fire department out there, and it turned out being the onion weed that you guys have out here. And it was freshly cut, and the whole neighborhood just had this wonderful smell about it. So not a big
smell like Gilroy.
And then we had 2 groundwater callouts on Lido. Now we had been doing some work over on Lido, and. When you work over there, you start flushing and moving water quickly through the system, you can disturb sediment. We treated 54.5 million gallons of wastewater. There was the notice of violation in October was responded to, and this was the one for the 7-day median. and the monitoring and reporting violation that I talked about earlier. The ESMR successful third report submitted. Actually, we got back today. I saw it, yeah, yesterday. I read it today. That we've been successful on our third submittal, so we do not have to send in any more SMR, paper SMR reports.
That's been a long time coming.
That has been. That's a very difficult thing. We're doing that for several other communities as well, but that's a big deal. The Regional Water Quality Control Board conducted an inspection on December 1st. They went through the plant, both plants. They looked at the lab. They looked at our data. They did cross comparisons. They did a full inspection, and they had two items that of concern or issues of concern. One was vegetation. It's an ongoing concern out by the lagoons. It's right next to the fields. There's weeds out there, and sometimes a weed can seed can grow down inside of the lagoon, and they don't like to see that. So that was the one thing. The other thing was decimal points. They're very particular about decimal points. Our system was adding another decimal point, and what they were saying is you're adding more accuracy than what the lab is reporting. Mm-hmm. So we had to change it to be less accurate. In collections, we have two ARVs that are being air relief valves, if you will, on the effluent line, the export line actually. The kits have been ordered, they're here, we're rebuilding those, we'll put those on. And then we cleaned 23,440 feet, which is a considerable amount of cleaning for 1 month. I think we were supposed to clean somewhere around 66, I think we got 86,000 feet this year. So, for water treatment plants, we treated 55 million gallons. I think you remember me talking about a little bit of a rebate. In November, we rebated $258, and it comes to $2,861.22 for the month. I don't have December's on there. But our company is going through a new program. It's an Oracle venture. It's global for us, and so things are kind of slow to get turned in and get turned around. It's a big process, so those numbers will be forthcoming, but I don't have them at this time. We completed 234 preventative maintenance programs or corrective maintenance items for 165 hours, and that'd be it.
How are you doing? Did you catch up?
I don't know, but that's my question.
Go ahead, ask.
I know we're behind on PMs, and then we had been making really good inroads. Mm-hmm. Where do we sit?
Dan Brown came out the last week of December, and we modified the PMs that we have to, we had like 700, and we modified those down to about 300. Now, the works, same amount of works there, but now it's very cleaned up. What we're planning to do moving forward with this contract is bringing additional staff in and addressing those. We think it'll be about 3 weeks to knock those out, three people, about 3 weeks to knock those out, and then we will have zero. With Matt backlog. With Matt coming on board, I know Virgil's very impressed with him, and Virgil is actually working with this young man diligently. We need a part, Virgil's getting it. So that's a good thing. And it's a good partnership there. We're moving forward with that. And so a lot of the things that we need to get done for this, for each month, are being done timely.
And you said you had it cleaned up, so let me figure this math out. You went from 700 PMs to 300 PMs.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
Well, if you had a duplicate,
okay,
then you reduce it by 50%. Instead of having going to a lift station and having a PM that says address this one pump and a PM that says address this one valve, you've got one PM that says address both pumps, both valves, everything.
Okay.
So address the lift station as opposed to the...
Yeah, everything is listed on the 1 p.m. It's just much nicer. And then we also used the criticality assessment that was done. There was three folks that came in for the company. We went through all the pieces of equipment, all the scenarios, and figured out, if you lost this, how bad is that? What would it cost? You know, what is environmental damage, and the cost of safety, all that. And that criticality was then applied to this program as well. So there's a list in there. I think it's 1 through, I want to say 34.
and it's a priority list, and that'll probably be used in terms of the contract as far as if it's this much priority, how much time do you want to, are you going to allow to get that done? So it's very well poised for success.
Thank you.
Lauren?
Gerald, you know, I harp on you for this every month. I don't want this month to be any different. We talked about turnover in the last few months, and you had told me at that time that with no contract in place that you guys were having a tough time hiring people.
Right.
I have a real concern about turnover because you guys have a lot of turnover. It seems to me I could be off a little bit. And as somebody who's run people's businesses and own my own, I'm a firm believer that turnover impedes stability and productivity. And I'd like to know where we're going now, that what we're going to do to ensure that we're not going to continue to lose people now that we have a contract in place.
Well, Mark, you're right. And I agree with you. Every time you bring someone in and you teach them the very specific thing that you need them to do, and then you expect them to grow on that knowledge and have that knowledge and that action to become routine, and then they decide to leave, I'll guarantee you, you're going to lose some of that training that you've given there, and you have to start over again. And yes, that's happened, and it does impede, and it does slow us down, and it makes it very difficult because I'm starting all over again. And as you pointed out, that's happened lots of times. Now, I will tell you that when you're hiring folks and you tell the person, well, I've only got 3 months left of a contract or 5 months left of a contract, and you know, you're not going to get the grade threes and the fours and the folks that have these really good jobs wanting to come and take that on. So you get a different pool of folks to choose from. And if I'm looking at that pool and I need someone that has a CDL license and they have one, they just got bumped up to the top of the list because they're meeting the very need of what I have to have. And that was the case for the last couple of years, is that we brought in people, some of them didn't work out. Some of them weeded themselves out for various reasons. But the good ones stayed, Mark. We've got people there that want to be there. They're hungry. They want to grow with the company. They like it here. They're dedicated. And they're going to stay. And now, with the new contract, if it's long term, I can actually approach some folks and share that with them, the vision that I have for the growth of this company in the partnership with the town, and build on that. So when I say someone to come here, I can go to that grade three or grade four around the area and actually provide them with a better deal, if you will, to come here, more incentive.
That's what I want to hear.
If I can add one comment to that. Yesterday I met with Aaron White with Veolia and spent some time with him, and Aaron is our project contact. And we had this exact same discussion with respect to turnover, and he was indicating to me that they are in the process, as Gerald indicated, of bringing in a number of applicants, and they're very excited about high end, and I mean they were almost giddy about the level of people that they are going to be interviewing here. So I'm concerned as you are, but looking forward to hopefully a better and higher level applicant and employee.
All right, you guys are doing a great job, and I was all in favor of your contract. It would just be nice to go a few months and not say we lost so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, I mean, if there's a way to keep them, obviously, we'd like to see this.
And I'd love nothing more than not have to hear that from you.
I thought you liked it.
I do like it.
Director Steele, do you have any comments for Gerald?
I would like to take a tour with the PM system and get more involved in that, and just so I can have a better handle on how that checklist or that process works. So I look forward to talking to you more about that outside the meeting. Thanks.
Very
good. Director Dawson? Gerald, it seems to me, and I know that our 10-year plan is probably going to answer some of these questions, but there's several different areas of maximums that we tend to run close to a lot. The example was this 2100, 2200 mm-hmm. conductiveness issue. Are we like that?
It is what it is.
And that's just because of capacity situation?
Well,
infrastructure?
No, you use groundwater. Groundwater is very, very high in conductivity. I think our groundwater is reading like 10,000. So if we have wells that have that high and people use that and have softeners and they add salts, and of course our bodies eliminate salts, and that salt comes in, it is what it is. Now, there are other companies or other places that don't have that high, but they use surface water. And if you use surface water, the conductivity is lower, but now you have to treat it more in order to provide it to the public. So there's a big cost in treating it. Now, you can treat it on the front end, you can treat it on the end, or the bottom end, because it's the effluent that they're looking for. They don't care about the influent. So you could use reverse osmosis, sometimes dilution. There's been a lot of discussion on this.
I got you. Okay. Well, any comments from the public? Yes, sir.
Oh, I just had a quick question. There's something in here about internet service being poor, and I don't see anything where what you're doing to address that. You got a provider problem or what?
I don't have a provider problem. The town actually is providing us with the internet. I'm not an IT person, but I can tell you from what I've been told, there's an antenna and there's a receiver and another antenna that's sending out the signal from an IPS provider, okay? And somehow the wavelength that's coming through or the signal that's coming through has been stolen. And they don't know where and they don't know why and they don't know how. And what they thought one fix for that would be to, instead of shooting it directly over here, that they'll bounce it off over here and go around whoever's stealing this bandwidth. Now, they don't have hardwire cable, or AT&T or Cox or any of those folks don't have anything out front, so that's not going to happen that way. And there are some other issues. I think you actually brought up some other companies that they were looking at. The most viable at this point is to go over to where the golf course is by Plant One and find one of those cables that are over there and get them to drag it in over to the Plant One facility and then bounce that signal from there over, or even better yet, put fiber optics in and feed it under the street over to
that. That ain't gonna happen.
Well, we talked about this in the last meeting.
Yeah, and that's
well,
exactly.
We talk, that's the problem. We keep talking about it.
But
we're actually gonna do something about it.
We're trying to do something about it. It's probably one of the most frustrating internet situations that I've seen, because of the fact that there's no, you just can't get service over there. It's all done by dish. It's all radio wave.
What do you think about taking it from the golf course?
I think it's a good idea, and that's what we're looking at doing from using our local service providers, be it Comcast.
Comcast runs right down Cherry Hills, which is just outside the wall.
But they won't go. They won't run the cable. That's something we have to do.
We have
to run the cable. Then we have to go under the road, and it's not an easy fix. Mr. Mankin brought up some suggestions. We talked about it last time. He and I have followed up on some of those discussions and seen potentially opportunistic that might work. They won't work for us in our environment. It has to do because that's a very remote facility and there's nothing out there. I mean, it's not that far from where we are, but you're not gonna get a provider to come and put in infrastructure to service that one facility. So it's a difficult situation for us.
What about satellite?
It's a very slow download.
Yeah, even air cards. I'm suffering through that in my business right now. Air cards are horrible.
The size of miles
get faster though.
I'm actually using an air card, and we pass it off to the other staff. And you guys, trust me, it is a very poor way of having to do business.
You don't have to convince me, my friend. That's my life right now.
We use a lot of internet systems on the way we conduct our business and how we track data, and it's archaic and has been that way for about 4 months. So
we really,
it's
going to
be the excuse I use if I don't turn a report in to you on time.
You can use it not to turn a report into us, but just it ain't no good excuse to turn it into the water control board.
No, that's good, because I use mine at home where I do have internet, so I just pack up my office.
Rick, I know it probably is, but I'll just reiterate the fact that needs to be a priority. We need to get that resolved ASAP.
It's been on the list for months and months.
Yeah, I imagine it's, I get it. It's frustrating. I've been involved in some of that, but man. Any other questions? Oh, Mr. Richardson, did you have a question?
No, I got it. Got it answered.
Okay, any other questions from the public for Mr. Smart?
Like
no
questions.
Pun intended.
Hey.
Thank you very much for your report, Gerald. I appreciate it, and well done. Are you up, Rick?
Yes, thank you. I have four very quick items. The first one is, just wanted to update the board, let you know that we did initiate contract discussions with Veolia yesterday. So that has started. The second item is out on, is it Cherry Hills? Over, it runs kind of parallel to the back fence. We are in the process out there of rehabbing three manholes that were, with the sulfur gases, they were literally deteriorating inside, and there's metal rebar ladders that they used to go down inside, and when they went inside, the metal rebar actually just pulled straight out. So we have just recently completed, as of yesterday, three rehabs of those, and they get worse the closer they get to the plant, because that's where all the gases are. The further away you get, the better quality they are. So that took place. If you came in this morning or this afternoon and you saw any of the work going on out front, here we are in the process of replacing the sand filters in two of our three water filters here, and that's going on right now. And the fourth item has to do with the workshop on Saturday. And just to remind you, at 9:30, but what I'd like for you to do between now and then is start to think about some of those projects that are near and dear to your heart, some of those things, some of the goals that you would like to see this district move forward to in the next year, a couple of years out. So we'll be having a discussion on that on Saturday. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Legal. Oh, I'm sorry, Mark.
I hate to bring this. I'm going to regret asking this question. Whatever became of the Harbor Bay condo water meter thing? And I'm only asking because I'm just, did we resolve it or?
Save that for Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't want to ask it.
We'll be discussing it on Saturday. Okay. It's on my hit parade.
Okay.
So far, we're paying double for our water as usual. That's
getting
the answer
really
to your question.
Water. Yeah. Really nice water.
Legal.
Thank you, President Gray, board members. Annually, I give you an update on any changes that have occurred to the Brown Act. There were no statutory changes, additions, amendments, or anything to the Brown Act from last year. So that's my report.
Thank you, but I believe we all received a copy, so I would encourage the directors to discard the 2010 copy and replace it with the 2011 copy. Thank you, Council. Correspondence is listed. Public records requests are listed. Future agenda items. I have one item for Saturday's agenda. Should I talk about that now? Or is this for next regular meeting? I actually have an addition for Saturday's agenda. Is that okay? About 15 minutes before I came to the meeting, I received a document from the Department of Conservation and Development here in Contra Costa County from Steve Getz. He's the deputy director, and they're requesting our presence and participation in the environmental report of the Delta Plan. And there are several, sponsored by the Delta Stewardship Council. Mm-hmm. I made a quick call to the county, and I would like to add this as an approved attendance on my behalf in order to represent the district on this very important matter with regards to conservancy of our Delta. It's actually, let me just read you real quick the what I consider to be their mission statement. Achieve the two co-equal goals of providing a more reliable water supply for California, and we know that one, but here's the interesting one, and protecting, restoring, and enhancing the Delta ecosystem. The co-equal goals shall be achieved in a manner that protects and enhances the unique cultural, recreational, natural resource, and agricultural values of the Delta as an evolving place. Now, that's pretty well written. Obviously, Southern California has a different goal than we have. And I don't think that's I'm not saying anything out of line here. I mean, we all know that. Southern California has a lot of money and a lot of population, as we all know. But the fact that this was that piece right there actually comes out of a written, I'm not sure if it's law or a resolution that was written by but it's in the record, let's put it that way, and I'll clarify that for you at the meeting. And I'm really happy to see that, because that I think that does a great job at describing what our concerns here are in Northern California. And the fact that it's stated twice in that mission statement, I think is good. So anyway, if you'll put that on the agenda as an approval for me to attend that meeting, I'd appreciate it. It's going to be on the 20th. I wouldn't do it on Saturday, except it's coming up. It was a last-minute notice. It comes up on the 25th. Actually, it's tomorrow night, but I'm going to go to a different one out of the area on the 25th of January. Any other agenda items for
Saving Saturday? Them all for Saturday.
I just want to make sure it gets on there. Huh?
Saving them all for Saturday.
Oh, okay.
The only other one we talked about at the last meeting for the next meeting was to put on a discussion about a progress reports
for the budget.
Where we're standing.
Oh, I thought we were going to grade each other.
Because
of
the cool meeting.
Any other items that the public would like to bring up at this point with regards to agenda concerns? Mr. McGrew.
No, McCleary.
McCleary, I'm sorry. Gosh, I did that last time, too. I apologize. Mike.
The agenda for Saturday shows this address. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's correct. All right. Nut. That's the bell. We're adjourned.